session number 12418, Reel 2. And I'm posting to the home establishment or transferred to the Army Reserve. I proceeded to my home, which was now, even though we still had the shop in York Road, was at Mossin Road, Wimbledon. And there I spent by 6 months at home, or at least 6 months at home. Whilst I was at home, incidentally, I had qualified as a regimental signaller in Hong Kong, when we were in the new territories, in 1928. And I had also been appointed unpaid Lance Corporal whilst I was in the signal section, and promoted Corporal when I was at Malta. I was a Corporal when I was in Tin Tsin. Therefore, when I got home, I was Corporal, and while I was at home, married my girlfriend, whom I'd known since I worked in the shop, actually, when I was 17. So we'd had a long-standing friendship. I married her in September 1934. But whilst I was home on leave, I had a letter from the regimental headquarters to say that I was to proceed to the 2nd Battalion at Aldershot to do a fortnight's preparatory training with the signal platoon, as I had been selected to attend an army instructor's course at Catterick as a signal sergeant. So I reported to the 2nd Battalion at Aldershot and started to do training under the signal section there. But in the meantime, the battalion had been notified that they were proceeding to India. Therefore, my course was cancelled, as well as I. There were two other sergeants that had came home on leave. They were also appointed to have attended a machine gun course and a rifle course. But going to India, these courses were all cancelled, which meant that instead of me going home, going to the 1st Battalion, returning in September or October, I did not proceed home and proceed to India until December. Of course, I was now married, and we proceeded to India, actually, on Friday the 13th of December.
With your wife?
Yes. And But in those days, even though you were married, incidentally, I'd been appointed paid Lance Sargent while I was home on leave, and ultimately full sergeant. This was still before I'd rejoined the battalion, but the married quarters, all the married ladies with any of their families were in their own bunks, but you, even though you were married, still were still on the mess decks, and you were only allowed to see your wife at certain periods during the day. You were not allowed to sleep with them. And
why was that?
Well, it was just regulations. The only people that were allowed to sleep together was the well, of course, the officers and their wives. When we came, I and the other two sergeants with our families, we came with a draft, which was a draft of 200 men, which were captain, which were under the command of Captain D. E. Bathgate, and they got a nickname. I don't know why they got a nickname of Joe's 200. Of course, we used to laugh about this, but we still never knew. It was just because there were 200 men under Joe Bathgate. But on arrival at Karachi, the complete draft were taken direct to a train, and when Quetta was situated about 10,000 feet above sea level, therefore after you left Karachi, you climbed, and in the front of the train there was the normal carriage, but in the rear of the train, in the rear of the train there was another engine, therefore to push the train. It was interesting, and it was an interesting journey, but of course when we got it was very interesting for my wife, as she had never had experience of anything like this before, and the thing that I told her she'd be I don't know if she'd be amused about it, but always on the trains in India you had breakfast, and it was always hot soup. And it was very difficult to explain to her, but it was quite all right. It was a 2-day journey, and when we got to Quetta, of course it was deep winter then, therefore it was snow, and the people in the next door quarters knew that we were coming, and they'd already arranged for my quarters to be all ready, and of course there were big open fires, and the rooms were about 7 feet high, and you had one bedroom, the lounge, and the kitchen, or the cookhouse as it was outside. It was not in the quarter itself, but it was outside. And we used to draw rations every at midday, where you got, it was fresh meat, always fresh meat every day, and the normal rations. In addition to that, all married personnel were given an extra allowance of 30 rupees a month. Well, a rupee to us was worth 1 and 6 months. And so that was extra money to keep. You didn't have to pay rent or anything for the quarters. I was posted to, while I was, after I left the signal section, I was posted to the orderly room as an orderly room clerk. And there I learnt typing, and also learnt to do, oh dear, accounts. I learnt accounting and typing, and but I was still in the order room when I was in Malta, but also when I was in Tintin. But when I went home, when I was transferred back to home on leave, I was notified I'd been posted to a rifle company. So on arrival in Quetta, incidentally, the air there was very high, insofar as that it was a higher grading. Therefore, when you first arrived in Quetta, you were not allowed to do any energetic exercises or anything for at least a fortnight, as this enabled you to get used to the rarefied air. That's what I was wanted. Warrant officer in charge of my company, B Company, we went out on training, and it was energetic training, and I collapsed, and I was brought back to barracks, and because I should not have been doing this training, it was too much for me. So for a week after that, I was put in the sergeant's mess, the sergeant's mess caterer, which enabled me to get used to the difference in the conditions, which it was. It's hard to explain, but the conditions were ever so different.
But then did you go back to the rifle company?
Then I went back to rifle company and did rifle training. Well, after on the 30th of May, the battalion was out on night exercises. The 30th of May 1934 were out on night exercises, and we were opposed by the 2nd Rag Regiment, which was an Indian regiment, and which meant we'd left the families in quarters. Well, about 3 o'clock on the morning, we were on our way back to White Barracks, and I said to a corporal who was beside me, I was platoon sergeant actually of this in this B Company at that time, and I said to this corporal, I said, why have I lost my hat? And I noticed the telephone wires were swaying about, and I wasn't, and two or three of us fell, but we never realised what had happened. And looking towards Quetta, where we knew it was situated, I said to this corporal, I said, it looks as though they're having a ramsamy in Quetta, because you could see all the lights and everything going. Well, of course, it wasn't lights, Quetta was on fire. And we still carried on marching, because in those days there was no wireless telegraphy or anything, and the only correspondence, the only communications between was by cycle or by signals. So we never realised that anything had happened until we, of course it was now getting light, we'd passed the ammunition guard, which was on our, situated on our left, and I once again said to this corporal, I said, it looks as though they've taken the walls down in the ammunition guard, and the walls had actually collapsed, and it was, as I say, we then wondered, well, I mean, we wondered what had happened, and of course, in the meantime, the commanding officer had had communication from the people that were remaining in White Barracks that there'd been an earthquake. And when we got there, of course, all the families were outside, and of course, they cheered when they saw us. But my wife was quite a short lady, and of course, back door was quite high, and it was glass, and she'd couldn't get out. So the people next door had owing to the bolts being too tall for her, but the people next door got in and let her out. It must have been scarified for her, because she never ever forgot it, and she always used to wake up about 3 o'clock on the 31st of May in subsequent years. The earthquake actually took place on the 31st of May, and she'd say the earthquake. Well, that day we were due to be playing the West Yorkshire Regiment, who were also stationed in Quetta at the time, but they were in, they were not out on this night exercise, and what was I going to say? I can't think. Well, the West Yorks were there, and of course we got in. And once we got settled in, we had breakfast. We were then, the whole battalion followed the West Yorks into Quetta, where we did salvaging and trying to save the Indians that were all in the Indian houses, the Indian cantonment. Was all the houses were built, and in between the first floor and the next floor, it was all wired. Therefore, the Quetta really collapsed, and of course, through the wire, the people, these Indians, were just trapped, and there were a matter of approximately 30,000 casualties, Indian casualties, and we, both the battalions as well, and the signals were, the regiment, the signalers of the Royal Corps of Signals were actually stationed in Quetta, and their barracks completely complex, and they had over 100 casualties.
Yes.
And of course, we did not go there. We were just working in the cantonment, and we carried on doing that until the middle of June, and Quetta itself then was completely concreted over because they couldn't do anything about the bodies. It was just covered over, and I can't think.
Were the Indians very distressed about it?
Yes, oh yeah, they were all evacuated. And of course, the we were not allowed to use the barracks. Luckily, there were not many troops in the barracks because it might have caused casualties through people's... I mean, it affected White Barracks was hit. That's where we were. And, of course, the tentage was put up for troops and also for the married families. Well, the married families were evacuated to England, and we went to the Gurkha camp, which was a matter of a few mile away from White Barracks, and one huts were built. These were mud huts, and they were built for the troops to live in, because you couldn't be in White Barracks. Incidentally, in Quetta, there was a staff college similar to what there is at Sandhurst, and the chief instructor there was Brigadier Montgomery, who finished up for Field Marshal. But it was very interesting. These one huts were all made out of mud, and it was an experience. Of course, the families were evacuated from Karachi, and they were evacuated to Karachi for a matter of to England for a matter of almost 2 years. We did our normal training in Quetta, and...
Did you go up to the frontier?
No. Well, Quetta is quite near the frontier, actually. But, no, we did not go to the frontier. From Quetta, we moved to Allahabad, which was in the United Provinces, and the... but... about the middle of June, I was sent for, and I took over a regimental appointment as sports clerk, which meant that I was transferred from B Company to headquarter wing, and it was a job that I took. And after that, I combined that and PRI sergeant, because I was a full sergeant then, and I kept that appointment going until the 1939. In the meantime, the families had all returned from England, and they arrived about October 30, that's right, October 37, because the Quetta earthquake was on the 31st of May 1935. And of course, but it was completely flattened, and White Barracks afterwards was completely cleared and rebuilt, but we never went back. We went to Allahabad in the United Provinces from the Wana Huts, which was situated in the Gurkha barracks. The families arrived, and of course, in 1939, the war was declared, and my battalion had to erect prisoner of war camps, because the lots of people were
interned.
Yeah, interned. Yeah, we built internment camp, but in February 1940, numbers of the troops from England were posted abroad, and staff, permanent staff, were posted from Allahabad to Indian, to England, as permanent instructors. I was one of those, and my wife and I were transferred. We went to Bombay, where we were on a troop ship, and on this troop ship was the first contrivance put, which was to detect mines, and we were the first troop ship to actually have that. It was an interesting journey home. We came through the Suez Canal, which was an experience, because you came through at night and it's all lighted up, and we went through the Mediterranean and went across France and came into England, from where I was posted to Guildford, where a new camp had just been built.
Do you know the month that you arrived back in Britain?
Yes, I arrived back in England at the beginning of April.
1940.
And, of course, the Stoughton Barracks was the regimental depot, but we were situated in the what is now the Rack Camp in Guildford, and we carried on training. I was there for 6 months, but we were not in married quarters. My wife, I got accommodation for my wife in Guildford, so we were able to live together. About 6 months after that...
Were you in the bombing in Guildford?
No. My wife was in the bombing in Guildford, but I was not, because... after 6 months, I was posted to the first six Queens, which was situated in Boston, and took over Company Sergeant Major of A Company. Of course, we remained on coastal defence for quite a time, but it was just a continual... The battalions... We kept moving around because disconcert the enemy, knowing actually where the various regiments were. In fact, we went from Boston.
Did you think that the Germans would come?
Well, there was the defences. All round, and you were always on the alert, but we just carried on doing normal training, but...
But did you think there was going to be an invasion?
Hmm?
Did you think there was going to be an invasion?
Oh, yes.